Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I am Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 96 for the week of January 25th, 2021. Before we start, a reminder that you can download the PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. Before we get into the data this week, we should acknowledge that between our last podcast and this one, we have a new president, Joe Biden. We don't get into political opinions in this podcast, and indeed, FTR makes it a point not to take advocacy stances in the political realm. However, we do need to acknowledge a few concrete actions that have occurred in the past week and recognize that they might have an effect on the trucking industry. First, President Biden signed an executive order directly revoking various deregulatory executive orders that President Trump had signed 4 years earlier. President Biden said that the executive departments and agencies, quote, must be equipped with the flexibility to use robust regulatory action to address national priorities, end quote. You can find that order, by the way, in the briefing room at whitehouse.gov. Also in his first day, President Biden signed a memorandum entitled Modernizing Regulatory Review, which you can also find in the briefing room. The memorandum strikes the same tone as the executive order and directs the Office of Management and Budget and representatives of the various departments and agencies to develop recommendations for improving regulatory review. He asked that the recommendations, quote, ensure that the review process promotes policies that reflect new developments in scientific and economic understanding, fully accounts for regulatory benefits that are difficult or impossible to quantify, and does not have harmful anti-regulatory or deregulatory effects. Now, the item that I want to highlight in that statement specifically is the full accounting of regulatory benefits that are difficult or impossible to quantify. That's a rather broad directive that arguably opens the door to justifying pretty much any regulation that the administration strongly believes is a good idea. Of course, this is just the beginning of what probably will be a long process of regulatory reform. And even if it's enacted in some form and used to promulgate regulations, you can bet that courts will look at that process. But it is something to watch, and it does support the executive order in indicating what the stance is of the Biden administration relative to regulation, which of course is very different than the Trump administration's approach. The final action I want to highlight came not from the president himself, but from his chief of staff, Ron Klain. And it's something we see every time there's a change in the partisanship of the White House. It's a regulatory freeze pending review. Basically, it stops publication of rules that had been finalized by the Trump administration, but not yet published in the Federal Register by January 20th. And it also postpones the effective date for 60 days beyond January 20th of any rule that had been published but had not taken effect. During that time, agencies may reopen the comment period, or they may entertain new petitions for reconsideration, of course, allowing for the undoing of some of those rules. By the way, the freeze applies to regulatory guidance as well as formal rules, which might be significant, especially with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. And as with other documents, this memorandum is at whitehouse.gov. Again, we knew this was coming, and we have actually touched on the implications in a previous podcast. I think the most significant rule that directly affects trucking, although it's not specific to trucking, is the Department of Labor's recent rule regarding worker classification and when a worker is an independent contractor as opposed to an employee. That rule is not scheduled to take effect until March, and I would bet heavily that it ultimately will not take effect, at least not in anything recognizable as its current form. A few minor FMCSA rules and guidance documents could be affected as well. However, it is worth noting that just because a rule was issued by the previous administration doesn't mean it ultimately will be overturned. The Trump administration kept in place two major trucking-related rules issued late in the Obama administration. One was the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse, which, of course, we've talked about in this podcast a few times, and also the entry-level driver training rule, which has been troubled for a few mainly technological reasons, but ultimately we'll see the light of day and has already seen some effects in the near term. Okay, let's move on and talk about the spot market. Load volume in the truckstop.com system dipped 4% during the week ended January 22nd, which is week three. And that is the second straight decline after setting a weekly volume record. Total load volume is still up nearly 80% year over year. Truck postings barely changed. They edged up 0.6%. And the market demand index, which is the ratio of loads to trucks in the truckstop.com system, declined to the lowest level since week 49 of last year. Dry van load volume fell more than 13% week over week, but it is still about 73% higher than the same week last year. Dry van truck postings edged down 0.8%, and the MDI for dry van was the lowest since August. Refrigerated loads dropped nearly 9% to the lowest level in 4 weeks. However, refrigerated volume is still up 21% year over year. Truck postings were up more than 5%, and the refrigerated MDI was the lowest in 7 weeks. And flatbed loads were higher. They edged up 2% week over week, to the strongest level since June of 2018. Flatbed volume is a little more than double the volume of the same 2020 week. The truck postings were down 2%, and the flatbed MDI, as it has done several times in the past 5 weeks, set another record, and that one was a record set 2 weeks ago. Spot rates continue to move lower, but that's pretty much what we expect seasonally. The broker posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, fell nearly 6 cents to the lowest level since August. However, rates are still about 29% above the same week last year. Dry van rates were down about 20 cents, but are still about 35% higher year over year, even though they are at their lowest level since late July. Refrigerated rates, which dropped nearly 24%, are about 26% higher than the same 2020 week, but they actually sank to their lowest level since early July. And finally, flatbed rates were up about a cent and are about 31% higher year over year. Okay, let's talk about petroleum and fuel briefly. Crude prices are still holding in the low $50 per barrel range, so at least they aren't continuing to rise steadily. However, diesel prices are rising steadily. The national average price was up another 2 cents during the week ended January 25th to $2.71.6 a gallon. Diesel prices have now risen more than 34 cents over 12 straight weeks of gains and are now at their highest level since mid-March, which, of course, is about the time that the U.S. recognized that there was a pandemic. By the way, the Energy Information Administration recently said that it expects on-highway diesel prices will average $2.71 per gallon, which again is where it was in the most recent week this year, and $2.74 a gallon in 2022. So call me skeptical about that. For diesel to average $2.71 a gallon this year, we would either have to see stability from this point forward, or we would have to see lower diesel prices than they are today for a sustained period, following whatever period of time that diesel prices are above what the prices were in the most recent week. I know that's kind of a convoluted statement, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Basically, it seems unlikely, in my opinion, but we'll see. Okay, to wrap up the weekly data, let's discuss a couple of other things, starting with unemployment. The unemployment situation is either little changed or greatly improved, depending on the numbers you choose to consider. Initial claims in state programs eased slightly by 26,000 to 900,000, seasonally adjusted for the week ended January 16th. Continued claims declined by 127,000 to 5.1 million for the week ended January 9th. Neither of those decreases were particularly large. However, continued claims in the federally funded programs were once again down sharply in the latest data, which is for the week ended January 2nd. Continued claims in the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, or PUA, and the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program, which is PEUC, fell by a combined 2.9 million in the latest week. Over the past 2 weeks, continued claims in PUA and PEUC have plunged by 4.1 million to 8.7 million. As we mentioned last week, it is not yet clear that this large drop in federal continued claims represents actual improvement in the unemployment situation or one or two other factors. Holiday disruptions and possible quirks related to the legislative sunset and reauthorization of PUA and PEUC could be skewing the data temporarily. We have also seen media reports about problems some states are having in processing the reauthorized benefits payments, so that too might be an issue. We should have a better grasp of the true situation over the next few weeks. However, the lack of material improvement in the regular state programs, coupled with the loss of payroll jobs in December, suggests that the overall unemployment situation probably has not improved much, if at all, in recent weeks. Okay, so the rest of the podcast is about housing, and we'll start with our final weekly indicator, which is mortgage rates. 2 weeks ago, we saw a relatively sharp increase, albeit from a record low. That did not continue last week. Freddie Mac reported that the rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was down slightly to 2.77%, which, of course, is still very, very attractive. Okay, moving on to the monthly indicators. The post-contraction rebound in residential construction reached a milestone in December because housing starts for the first time exceeded the January 2020 peak of the surge that began before the pandemic. Permits authorized for future residential construction also were up, and starts and permits were both at their highest levels since 2006. Housing starts rose 5.8% in December to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.67 million units. That's the strongest rate of construction since September of 06. The rate in January 2020 was 1.62 million. The following month, February of last year, housing starts dipped to 1.57 million. And then, of course, they fell sharply in March and April due to the pandemic. The pre-pandemic surge in permits had begun several months earlier than the surge in starts, but January 2020 had been the peak for permits as well. Permits have been running higher than January 2020 for several months, and they were up 4.5% in December to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.71 million units. The December rate for permits is the highest since August 2006. The biggest factor in whether this strength will continue is whether people will continue to buy homes at a robust rate. And based on the sales of existing homes in December, that would seem to be the case. Sales of existing single-family homes were up 0.7% in December from November and were up 22.8% year-over-year. Especially notable is the supply of homes listed for sale relative to the current sales rate. Inventories of existing single-family homes dropped to an extraordinarily low 1.8 months. And by the way, the inventory of all existing homes was at a record low of 1.9 months. According to the National Association of Realtors, the total number of all existing homes sold in 2020 was 5.64 million, up 5.6% from 2019 and the most since 2006. So that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Spot volume eased further in the latest week. Diesel prices were up for the 12th straight week. New unemployment claims eased slightly. Continued claims in federal programs plunged. Mortgage rates moved slightly lower. Housing starts and permits were the strongest since late 2006. And sales of existing homes hit a 14-year high in 2020. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 96 for the week of January 25th, 2021. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.